You're listening to The Nancy Skinner Show. The Tom Hartman Show is next on IE America Radio Network.
A gas explosion at a coal mine in eastern China earlier has now killed at least 63 workers. As correspondent Celia Hatton reports from Beijing, officials say it's unlikely rescuers will be able to find any more survivors inside the mine.
63 miners in eastern China are dead after a major gas explosion at a coal mine in the mainland's impoverished Anhui province. Rescue workers have ventured into the deep underground mine to search for 23 other missing miners. This accident is just the latest in a string of mine explosions that kill thousands each year when illegal mines in China flood, explode, or cave in. Many labor activists blame the increased danger on recent reforms that are attempting to overhaul China's state-run mining system to make it more profitable. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
And Terry Nichols will now stand trial on state murder charges of the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. A judge yesterday made the decision after listening to a week's worth of testimony in a preliminary hearing. Nichols has already been convicted on federal charges in the deaths of 8 federal agents in the bombing. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America, Radio Network News. This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Weeks before Monday's suicide bomb attacks this week in the Saudi Arabian capital of Riyadh, U.S. officials say they had asked for more security to protect against terrorism. U.S. Ambassador to Saudi Arabia Robert Jordan, though, says the requested security wasn't implemented by the Saudis.
They had been cooperative in sharing information, but we did not receive the added security at these residential compounds that we had asked for. I would note, though, that at one of the compounds there was armed security Saudi guards there.
Officials now say a total of 34 people were killed in those attacks after several car bombs ripped through a housing area used mostly by Westerners. Jordan says 8 of those killed were, in fact, Americans. He also repeated earlier today any U.S. citizens still in the country unnecessarily should leave immediately for their own safety. War crimes charges have now been filed in Belgium against U.S. military commander General Tommy Franks. That suit was filed by a Brussels lawyer on behalf of 19 Iraqis who claimed they were victims of U.S. cluster bomb attacks on civilians. Lawyer Jan Fehrman says the U.S. is now trying to derail the case.
The U.S. is trying to put pressure on Belgium not to investigate into this. And it's a very strange attitude, because if you have nothing to hide, then you don't fear an independent investigation. Then, on the contrary, you say, please come in and investigate, because we have nothing to hide.
The suit is utilizing a controversial Belgian law which allows foreigners to be tried in its courts for war crimes. The case will be a test, though, for the recently revamped law, which allows cases to be thrown out if the plaintiffs aren't Belgian or if they've lived there less than 3 years. And there may be remains, officials fear, of thousands of people in a mass grave uncovered south of the Iraqi capital of Baghdad. One local there says the site was found after a former Ba'ath official was taken into custody by Allied forces. There are no forensics experts or U.S. forces at the scene, and human rights groups fear crucial evidence of atrocities will be lost. Hundreds of families have also gathered at the site to search for missing relatives.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allevert. New Allevert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allevert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allevert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allevert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allevert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An Air Force Academy cadet is facing the equivalent of a pretrial hearing today to determine if he'll face court-martial for the alleged rape of a female cadet last October. Cadet Third Class Douglas Meester faces a maximum punishment of confinement for life, forfeiture of all pay and allowances, and dismissal from the Air Force if he's convicted. The bodies of 16 people, all believed to be undocumented immigrants, have been found in and around an abandoned tractor trailer in Victoria, Texas. Officials say the driver of the rig apparently unhooked the trailer and then left it. A dozen people were found alive and taken to a nearby hospital to be treated for heat exhaustion.
Philip.
Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't take this anymore. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Freelax.
What's so different about Freelax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free cramps.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this. A toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome, broadcasting from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, echoing from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, the Dogstar satellite that's standard equipment on Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, and Jaguar automobiles. And streaming live on the internet from www.ieamericaradio.com and rebroadcast by radiopower.org. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, and welcome to our program. We have so much to cover today. Oh, and you ever have one of those just kind of wild days? I got a call this morning from the publisher of my book, Unequal Protection, and we're having problems with Amazon.com's database is apparently broken. And I went on to a rant at her, and boy, it was just like, sometimes you just feel like, out of control. Ah! You know, it's like, that's one of those days. So hopefully we can get more, I'll get a little more rational here as the day goes on. So, but in the irrational department, we've got a hate alert to start out with. This is an interesting little ditty. This is just, you know, it's like, and I want to start talking about these things, pointing them out. We had on Fox News on the 7th of May, on Chris Matthews' Hardball program, he's got on this guy, Michael Graham. And Graham says, and I quote, "Anyone listening to Hillary Rodham and her speech last week about patriotism, that screaming, screeching fingernail, I want to bludgeon her with a tire iron. That's what I want to do." And Chris Matthews says, "Thank you, Michael Graham. It was great having you join us." You can find the transcripts on Fox's website. What kind of, you know, it's, yeah, okay, I'm not in favor of censorship. But I am in favor of civility. Of, I mean, if somebody, we had two kids who were in a public school last week where they were in a debate about the war in Iraq, and a teacher called the Secret Service on them, and they got dragged off and interrogated without lawyers and without their parents because the teacher felt that they had spoken in a way that was disrespectful of President Bush. And here on national television,
we've got a guy talking about going after a United States senator and bludgeoning her with a tire iron and being thanked by the host of the show for that comment. I mean, what has Fox come to? It is so sad. It is so sad. Today we got an email from Peter Sherman of MoveOn.org. Many of you probably also did. He says, Treasury Secretary John Snow, if this tax cut gets passed, will receive $275,000. Don Rumsfeld, $184,000. Secretary of Commerce Don Evans, $181,000. And, of course, multimillionaires like George Bush and Bill Frist will get even more. MoveOn.org has got this program asking people to call their United States senators today and say that they would like to see no child left behind rather than no millionaire left behind. But I've got a thought on that. This is how it's going to play out, folks. Whether we get a tax cut or we don't get a tax cut, whether there's a tax increase or there's not a tax increase, it's not going to change the economy. And no matter what, the Democrats are going to be blamed by a massive corporate media machine that is doing everything it can right now to ingratiate itself to this Republican administration so that Michael Powell will further loosen the restrictions on media ownership so that a small handful of very large corporations that are by and large making the decisions about certainly what's on the network news will have even more power. I guarantee the Democrats will be blamed. It's already starting. The other day on Crossfire, who was it? Tucker, you know, one of these, I think it was Tucker. He says, well, the recession wouldn't be as bad as it is. Or let me get the phrasing. The recession would be even worse if there hadn't been the 2001 tax cut. Well, nonsense. The fact is that the economy of the United States government has grown steadily since 1776, with the exception of three periods in our history. And you can find this in any textbook on the topic. In 1856, there was the Great Panic, which persisted until around 1860, and many say was in large part one of the major factors responsible for the Civil War. About 80 years later, in 1929, the stock market crashed, and we went into a four-year period of negative growth from 1929 to 1934. And in 2001, actually it began in 2001, we went into a period of negative growth, and if this continues for another quarter or two, we will have met the standard for the Great Depression and the Great Panic of 1856. Now, outside of those three periods, 1856 to 1860, 1929 to 1934, and 2001 to 2003, the economy of the United States, since the United States was declared, has steadily grown. And so you've got these folks going, oh, you know, things are so much better, the economy's gotten so much bigger, look at what happened under Reagan, look at what happened. They're being very selective. You could say the same thing about what happened under Carter, or what happened under Eisenhower, or what happened under Kennedy, or what happened under Roosevelt, or pick your president. If you pick any president outside of, I think it was Polk preceded Lincoln, wasn't it? And, no, it wasn't. It was, one of those moments. Anyway, outside of whoever was president in 1856, and outside of 1929 to 1934, Hoover and the first administration of Roosevelt, and outside of the current Bush administration, if you just don't look at any of those three, you can pick any period in American history and say, well, the economy grew. It did. We've been just steadily growing. We've been converting natural resources into an economic base. We've been, the country's been growing. God bless it. But to spin this thing around, it's like, so anyhow, my prediction, with or without a tax cut, the Republicans will blame the Democrats for the economy being bad, or will try to take credit if it's good, and so will the Democrats. And they're both wrong. We got an email from Kayla saying, hi, I love your show. Great work. I thank you. Hey, if the Republican-conservative Bush regime is implementing corporate socialism in America, does this mean that we should, and you know, and the analogy here that Kayla is bringing is that national socialism in Germany, where they were called Nazis for national socialism. She says, does that mean we should call them corpses? That's a stretch. We've got a couple of active threads on TomHartmann.com, www.TomHartmann.com, T-H-O-M, Hartman with two N's. Although I think if you misspell it, you'll still get there, hopefully. We have a message board where there's, 10,000, 11,000 messages now. And new member, Texas Democrat, member number 1,227, posted a message from Austin, Texas. It's rather long. I won't read the whole thing. But basically, he does a great job of recapping the whole issue that's going on with the Texas Democrats who are trying to avoid. He says every 10 years, congressional districts in Texas are redrawn. This happens on every year ending in zero. Note the last number of the previous parenthetical. United States House Majority Leader Tom DeLay disagrees. For the first time in Texas history, the Republican Party seeks to have the congressional lines redrawn in the third year rather than in the tenth. That's right, now in 2003. And then he goes on to say, you know, the Republicans are trying to sneak this by, and the loyal citizens of Texas are not going to allow it. These loyal Texas citizens and public servants have been made sick by the partisan and corporate-controlled Republican agenda, and they have become the opposition party to this partisan practice employed by Republicans in Texas and Washington, D.C. They will use their slingshot against this most evil of glass, and they will win. Vote in 2004. God bless the United States. Great. And we got a fascinating and rather long thread going on the forum about democracy, topic of democracy. It's in the radio show section. And again, some of these are really long. This is a really good discussion. I encourage you to check it out and participate if you'd like. It's at TomHartmann.com. So our question for this hour. Well, first our quote for the hour. This is our quote for the day. This is from Abraham Lincoln, and he said this of James Polk. When he said this, he was still an attorney. By the way, I want to thank Kurt Vonnegut for writing the piece that this was in that arrived in my mailbox this morning. Abraham Lincoln, speaking of Polk and his Mexican-American War, said, "Trusting to escape scrutiny by fixing the public gaze upon the exceeding brightness of military glory, that attractive rainbow that rises in showers of blood, that serpent's eye that charms to destroy, he plunged the nation into war. Trusting to escape scrutiny by fixing the public gaze upon the war." So, is a corporate, profit-driven energy and foreign policy harming democracy in the United States and overseas? Is it possible that a corporate, profit-driven energy and domestic policy, well, many would say so, and I think this is something that we really should concern ourselves with. This is really an issue worth attending to, because it's going to influence the future of this country. In Bloomberg News, that good Republican investment paper, financial paper published out of New York City by the current mayor of New York, Republican Michael Bloomberg, May 1st, 2003, first sentence, the U.S. and U.K. went to war against Iraq because of the Middle Eastern country's oil reserves. An advisor to the British Prime Minister Tony Blair said, Sir Jonathan Porritt, head of the Sustainable Development Commission, which advises Blair's government on ecological issues, said the prospect of winning access to Iraqi oil was, quote, a very large factor in the Allies' decision to attack Iraq in March. Quote, I don't think the war would have happened if Iraq didn't have the second largest oil reserves in the world, Porritt said in a Sky News television interview. Yeah, I mean, if you want bad guys, let's look at Robert Mugabe. This guy has about 3 million of his own people on the edge of death right this moment. You probably haven't heard much about him, though, because he doesn't have any oil. Now, the oil systems in Iraq, we learn, are going to be run as a corporate structure. This from the Wall Street Journal earlier in the week. Let's see if we get the date on this. I think it was yesterday or the day before. The U.S. government is structuring Iraq's vast oil industry much like a corporation, they say. So, we have this situation. We're not a problem, a situation. Let's get into that in a little more detail right after this break. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, you're back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ouch!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Ah!
So you can bend, dig, plant, water, water, and water all you want. No problem. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Be happy in every life. We have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. As you're listening to the Tom Hartman program, where we still honor we the people instead of we the transnational corporation, the belief that there's something to be said for human rights for humans alone. So the Iraqi oil industry, now traditionally there are two ways that nations deal with natural resources like oil. They either say, we own this stuff, we the nation, and we're going to use it, you know, for our benefit or for the benefit of our people, or to enrich the local despot, or what, you know, however it may play out, which is called nationalized. Or they say, well, anybody who comes along and just happens to own that property and drills down through there can get whatever's underneath there, which is pretty much how it was done in the United States, with the exception on privately owned land, with the exception of federally owned lands. And on federally owned lands, then it becomes a matter of somebody wants to drill the oil, they pay a small fee to the government for access to it. So we kind of have a hybrid here in the United States. What brought about the destabilizing of Venezuela a year or three ago was when the government decided that the oil should be the government's, the Venezuelan people's, and the oil companies should buy it from them rather than owning it themselves. They were deprivatizing the oil. And this is the same thing that's happening in Iraq right now. Iraq had asserted, ever since we installed Saddam Hussein in power, when the Shah got run out of Iran, and we knew that we had to have somebody to block a potential Shiite theocracy in Iran, so we put Saddam Hussein into power. Ever since then, one of the first things Hussein did in 78 was to nationalize the Iraqi oil. He said, hey, this oil belongs to us. You know, clearly he wanted to stick as much of it in his own back pocket as he could. But the reality is that the Iraqi people or the Iraqi government has been claiming that the oil belongs to them. So now we're going in and we're saying, no, sorry, it doesn't belong to you. We're going to take control of it. And we'll pay you a fee. Now, it's interesting that this is being done with the Iraqi oil, because the Iraqi oil is the cheapest oil on earth. The reason why is because it just bubbles out of the ground. You don't have to pump it. In Saudi Arabia, they've exhausted their oil to the point where they have to draw it out of the ground with pumps. Iraqi oil is half as expensive as Saudi oil to pump, which means it's twice as profitable to sell. There actually is a difference in the cost and the value of oil. Some oil is less valuable than others. This light sweet crude is the most valuable. That's what Iraq has, the very low sulfur content. It refines very quickly. And the oil that just bubbles out of the ground is very cheap to produce. About $1.50 a barrel to produce that kind of oil. And it can be sold for $30 a barrel on the spot market, you know, on the open market. So we're setting up this vast U.S. to use a corporate structure to run Iraq's vast oil industry, says the Wall Street Journal. This structure, quote, the structure will take the place of the traditional ministry system. The chief executive of the structure would also represent Iraq at meetings of OPEC, just as the former oil minister did. Philip J. Carroll, former chief executive of Shell Oil Company, the U.S. arm of Royal Dutch Shell Group, will be chairman of the board. The American-style structure and the appointments may rankle those who believe that the U.S. is wielding too much unilateral power over the occupied nation. And is this corporate-driven energy and foreign policy harming democracy in the United States and overseas? This is the question. We have this concocting, this is Jacob Levitch wrote this thing, Democracy Comes to Iraq, concocted behind closed doors by Pentagon and State Department planners. A designer regime is now being imposed on Iraq with great speed and without any popular consent. Quote, democratic transition government, end quote, is window dressing for a military dictatorship charged with ensuring that U.S. policy goals, especially the disposition of Iraq's vast petroleum reserves, are protected from any troublesome outbreaks of democracy. And the blueprint for this was laid out in February of 2003. And Chalabi commented about it in the Wall Street Journal. We'll tell you about that when we come right back. Fascinating stuff here on the Tom Hartman program on IE America Radio.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Plan number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Workers who were injured on the job at Ground Zero in the weeks following September 11, 2001, began a week-long hunger strike outside the offices of New York Governor George Pataki yesterday. The hunger strikers say the governor's done little to help workers and residents of Lower Manhattan who were affected by toxic air following the collapse of the towers. They're demanding an investigation into the long-term effects of World Trade Center air pollution, as well as treatment for those affected. The hunger strikers are joined by low-income New Yorkers who are demanding an overhaul of the state's workers' compensation board. Workers' comp cases in New York sometimes take 8 years or longer to resolve, and the protesters are demanding a maximum review time of 3 months.
The Federal Mine Safety Health Administration is resurrecting a proposal that would increase the level of airborne dust allowed in coal mines. The United Mine Workers Union is leading opposition to the rulemaking, worried that the increase will result in a new rash of cases of black lung disease. The U.S. Department of Labor is also skeptical of the idea. Officials there have already spoken critically about the proposal and say they will not permit breathable coal dust levels to be increased. The original rulemaking effort was scuttled 3 years ago for the same concerns.
Workers at a suburban Boston movie theater are holding the line as their Wildcat strike enters its seventh day. Projectionists at the Somerville Theater walked off the job May 1st, forming a picket line outside the Boston Independent Film Fest. Police were dispatched to the scene and a melee ensued, and while no one was arrested, a number of strike leaders were injured. Despite this, the projectionists say they'll continue to strike for the recognition of their union, the International Association of Theatrical Stage Employees, with whom they hope to win health insurance, improvements to minimum wage pay, and protection against breathing hazardous polyester dust.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end? I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
I love that song. Moon Dance with, what's his name? Van Morrison, that's right. That was actually the theme song. Back in 1969, I think it was, I used to do an all-night radio show on WVIC, AM and FM in Lansing, Michigan. And that was the theme song for my show so many years ago. Raising questions about free speech in post-war Iraq, the Wall Street Journal reported 2 days ago, the U.S. Army issued orders for troops to seize the city's only television station to keep it from continuing to broadcast programs from the Arabic news channel Al Jazeera. A high-ranking officer who refused to carry out the order was removed from her duties. So we have in the United States Army an officer saying, hey, wait a minute, we're supposed to be bringing democracy to Iraq. Our question this hour, welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program, by the way, where we're helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Our question, is a corporate profit-driven energy and foreign policy harming democracy in the U.S. and overseas? So this story in the Wall Street Journal, Army orders troops to seize TV station in northwest Iraq. Directive targets broadcast of Al Jazeera in Mosul and issue of free speech. The high-ranking officer refused to carry out the order, was removed from her duties. And by the way, if you'd like to comment on this, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. The order had not yet been publicized in Mosul, which has no radio station or newspaper. It only has a TV station. So the head of the Army Public Affairs Office in Mosul, Major Charmaine Means, said she could not agree to seizing the station and posing troops there. She argued that the presence of armed soldiers would intimidate the station's Arab employees into airing only programs produced by or acceptable to the American military. Major Means, I'm reading now from the Wall Street Journal, Major Means was told to pick up a nearby telephone. On the other end, Colonel Thomas Schoenbach, chief of staff of the division, ordered her to go along with General Petraeus' plan to take the station. When she again refused, he relieved her of her duties. A short time later, she was told that she would be flown out of Mosul on an Army helicopter early this morning. The Wall Street Journal says Major Means, who was visibly shaken by the confrontation, was being comforted by fellow soldiers. She thought we were there to bring democracy. And in today's paper, I think this was the USA Today from today. We have, the U.S.-sponsored Iraqi TV news station complained of U.S. censorship before its first broadcast Tuesday, yesterday. The first time this U.S.-sponsored Iraqi TV station is going to go on the air. Very first time on the air. And before they are allowed to go on the air, they are already rebelling about media censorship. The Iraqi Media Network postponed plans to air a half-hour live news program because of disputes over editorial control. We will not submit to censorship, said Dan North, a Canadian documentary maker advising Iraqis at the station. U.S. officials declined to comment on the accusations. So, generating corruption in Iraq, it's like wherever this goes, this is the great lesson of imperialism. This is the great lesson of occupying forces. You win the war and you lose the peace. This is how England got its, the United Kingdom got its nose bloody in India, among other places. Well, in North America to begin with, in 1776. Conquering North America with the help of the British East India Company, the world's largest multinational corporation at the time, and coming in and saying, well, we've got everything under control here. And so does the corruption spread. We have, now again, this is from the New York Times yesterday, Interior Department officials' role as oil lobbyist is investigated. This is the Teapot Dome. J. Stephen Griles, Deputy Secretary of the Interior, had met with oil and gas industry officials whom he once represented and who have financial stakes in department decisions. This is against the law. Several news organizations, including the Washington Post and the Associated Press over the last year, had suggested that Mr. Griles had extensive contact with his former clients. In fact, the New York Times says, while Mr. Griles' nomination was pending before the Senate in 2001, Chevron was paying his firm $80,000 to lobby the Interior Department. 2 months after his confirmation, Mr. Griles began meeting with other department officials to discuss Chevron's proposed projects. The AP said those meetings ended with the Bush administration paying Chevron $46 million to abandon plans for oil wells off the Florida coast, a decision that enhanced the reelection prospects of President Bush's brother Jeb as governor of Florida. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Are we becoming a republic in this country? What's going on here? Is a corporate profit-driven energy and foreign policy harming democracy in the U.S. and overseas? The Teapot Dome scandal burst onto the scene in 1924. It was essentially the same kind of deal. J. Stephen Grimes with the Interior Department. And I'm looking for his exact title. He's one of the assistants in the Interior Department. And then we had Albert Fall. Fall was Harding's Secretary of the Interior and opened oil reserves to private exploration in 1921. Turns out that he was getting gifts and loans from oil men. And ultimately was found guilty of bribery in 1929. I mean, when this came out in 1924, it rocked the nation. People were totally flipped out. What's going on with this thing? This is wrong. We can't have it. And here, now, you know, we're being revisited. The same thing. This is instead of a $400,000 deal, this was a $46 million deal that dramatically helped the political fortunes of the brother of the President of the United States. Can you imagine if $46 million had gone to help Roger Clinton? What would happen? And it merits a small mention on an inside page in the Wall Street Journal. Adventuring around the world, it leads to these problems, folks. And now, you know, there are times to do it, certainly. There are times that we have to be proactive and we have to use our force around the world. There are times when we shouldn't. Should we be doing it for oil? I don't, you know. This is in a democracy, in theory. This is a decision that's made by elected officials, Cheney firm paid millions in bribes to Nigerian official, is the headline in The Guardian, the newspaper in the United Kingdom a couple of days ago. Cheney firm paid millions in bribes to Nigerian official. And this, again, is the oil. Nigeria is one of those countries where they just, you know, they pump it out of the ground and the oil companies just, you know, they're making out like bandits. And this is one of the big problems with enormous natural resources. When you get into these huge piles of extraordinary natural resource wealth, particularly oil. I mean, oil is, they call it black gold for a good reason. It generates more revenue than gold does overall. I mean, South Africa's gold is nothing compared to Nigeria's oil. And what does this do when it explodes like this? When a country goes from being dirt poor to suddenly being incredibly rich, you have incredible corruption. Look at Saudi Arabia. This is not something that we're not familiar with. And yet the corporations who are pushing these things and calling these shots, saying, well, you know, no problem. This is how we want it to work. After an unspecified period, indirect elections will be held in Iraq for a constituent assembly. At no point in the democratic transition in Iraq, what we're calling the democratic transition, will Iraqis be allowed to vote. There's going to be this consultative council. Chalabi, Ahmed Chalabi, who is our kind of hand-picked guy in Baghdad, in February 19, in the Wall Street Journal, he says, the plan, he's talking about the U.S. plan for Iraq. Now, this was February 19th. The plan calls for an American military governor to rule Iraq for up to 2 years, Chalabi said. The occupation authorities would appoint a consultative council of hand-picked Iraqis with non-executive powers and unspecified authority, serving at the pleasure of the American governor. The occupation authorities would also appoint a committee to draft a constitution for Iraq. After an unspecified period, indirect elections would be held for constituent assembly that would vote to ratify the new constitution without a popular referendum. End quote. At no point in this democratic transition, it should be noted, will the Iraqi people actually be permitted to vote. Are we bringing democracy around the world? Or have we overreached? Have we overstepped? Are we perhaps even on the edge of getting our nose bloody here? Paul in Fayetteville, Arkansas, would like to talk about geoeconomics. Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I think it's terrible that large corporations are are grabbing resources, you know, natural resources that the Earth created. They never created those resources. Correct?
Yeah, well, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, it was Mother Earth or God or nature.
Right.
And the point is that there was a political economist in the last century who was basically erased from our economics books. His name was Henry George.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with Henry George?
Yes.
Not too many people are because...
there's a little cult of people who are into Henry George out there.
There is a cult, but his ideas have evolved. I mean, you might consider that Albert Einstein endorsed him.
Yes.
Helen Keller.
Yeah, Paul, would you like to summarize in a couple of sentences for our listeners Henry George's position and take
well,
on these issues?
It's been updated. It's called geonomics. And geonomics, in a nutshell, is tax what you take, not what you make. Now, this would appeal to environmentalists because if you start taxing natural resources, the price goes up.
Right.
And that would reduce the use of natural resources. We would start building hydrogen cars, personal rapid transit systems, compressed air cars, which they make in France, all sorts of ways, new technology. However, how do people pay for that? Well, in geonomics, you get a citizen's dividend like they do in Alaska.
The oil wells have run dry now.
Well, the same thing could be applied to Iraq. I mean, the citizens of Iraq should actually have the money from their resources, not Dick Cheney. You know. And the point is that so you would have environmentalists, you would have labor on your side because you're reducing their taxes. You're shifting it over to another. It's also applied to, say, broadcast spectrum. You could get revenue from that. But more importantly, you would get it from site value or location user fees. And so the big corporations that own the downtown spaces, the cities would pay a lot more for their ground rent, but actually they would be let off the hook for what's above the ground. So what you get is you get urban infill, you take away the incentive for sprawl and eating up our natural resources that way.
Yeah,
so
if
the Democrats want to win in the future, they must look into geonomics. In fact, I just had a chat with Howard Dean last Friday, and he said he'd look into that.
Yeah, great. He's a good guy, and he's got some great ideas. He was certainly an excellent governor here in Vermont.
I met him, and I thought he was very sincere and honest.
Yeah, he is sometimes to a fault. I mean, in the years that he was governor of Vermont, he just basically says what he thinks, and you know he's not one of these guys who does a soft shoe every time somebody asks a hard question, and it's gotten him into trouble a few times, but ultimately it always worked out in the end because he was just
even if he doesn't get elected, I would like to see him bring that forth, the whole idea of genomics, because not only will that save the Democratic Party, it will actually save our environment and save our planet from the destructive forces of multinational corporations. Do you see the beauty of it, though?
I do.
You have a perfect synthesis of socialism. You're socializing the natural resources, but you're freeing up what you make from your own income. So it's a true free market.
Yeah, and even in a larger sense, it's diminishing the incentive to externalize costs and internalize profits, which
is
the
true cost. Pollution.
Yeah, right.
There's also a whole movement towards the sky trust, and you rent out portions of the sky for pollution, but that goes back to you as a citizen.
Right, the commons are belong to us. In other words,
they
which
do.
Is one of the 10 points in our declaration of our new Bill of Rights for the 21st century.
And, you know, if you build a better mousetrap, you can still become a millionaire or a billionaire, but you can't put that money back into tying up hoarding our natural resources.
Right. Yeah. Good one.
Pass on the word.
Yeah, I shall. I think we did, yes. Paul in Fayetteville, Arkansas, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate your calling. And these are the issues that we're really going to have to confront as we go into the 21st century, full bore here, that who owns things? And in the next hour, we're going to get into this in a really interesting way. We've got the voice of the original radio, I don't know what you call him, the original radio talk show host, the original radio wacko from 1937, We're going to hear from Father Coughlin and his thoughts on some of these issues. But the question of who really owns the nation, who really owns the wealth of the nation, whether it's our nation or Iraq's nation, and how should when people exploit the resources that are part of the commons, the things that we all own in common, which presumably would include many, if not most, of our natural resources, when those get exploited, then how do we determine who pays for it, who benefits from it, how it gets, and how the ultimate costs are paid? For example, you know, pollution. There are power plants in the Midwest that are poisoning the air in Vermont. The cost of that poisoning is being borne by Vermont, not by the power companies in the Midwest. Shouldn't there be some way to balance that out? These are the kind of things that Paul was talking about as well. Excellent stuff. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, where we're bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
You check the batteries in your smoke detector and the air in your tires to protect your family. But how about your credit report? Experts recommend you check it regularly, too. And FreeCreditReport.com makes it easy. Log on today, and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. A surprise in your credit report could cause you to be turned down for a loan or a credit card. See your credit report online instantly. Make sure you get the credit you deserve with FreeCreditReport.com.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four!
Yeah, too bad. Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com. We'll personally match you with a LendingTree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me
Don McLean. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Our question is, a corporate profit-driven energy and foreign policy harming democracy in the U.S. and overseas? The larger question in this is this idea of corporate profit-driven policy. We have an administration that is unwilling to raise fuel standards by 3 miles per gallon, which would have eliminated the need for the United States to import any oil from the Middle East. And instead, we're pumping this down. Now we've got Bremer, Paul L. Paul Bremer, who's the new head guy in Iraq. We replaced the last head guy because he wasn't doing so hot. So 2 days ago, Bremer comes in. The United States military forces in Iraq will have the authority to shoot looters on sight, according to Bremer. An official says they're going to start shooting a few looters so that the word gets around. Well, I'm sure the word will get around. And the Times asked the question, but imposing measures that call for the killing of young, unemployed, or desperate Iraqis for looting appears to carry a certain level of risk. I would think so. That's what the British thought. You know, the British said in the colonies, well, when they get out of line, we'll just shoot them. Remember the Boston Massacre? Fellow by the name of George Robert Twelve Tree Hughes and about a half a dozen other people bumped into a bunch of British, and a little, you know, the shooting started. The British shot somebody, and it was this meltdown, and it led to the American Revolution. The British shooting Indians, you know, because the Gandhi said, no, we're not going to, we're going to make our own salt, and we're going to make our own clothes. Use the spinning wheel, because the British law was that, you know, they were extracting resources. They were extracting wealth. The British law was that you could grow cotton in India, but if you wanted to make clothing, you had to ship the cotton to England and then buy the clothing from England. And Gandhi said, no, we'll just make our own. They started shooting at his people. And look what happened. We got to be really careful with this, folks. This is real dangerous. We'll be back after the news. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. FBI agents today are arriving in Saudi Arabia to join the investigation into this week's deadly terrorist blasts in the capital, Riyadh. Suicide bombers killed so far 34 people in those attacks, including 8 Americans. Nearly 200 other people were injured. Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Saud Al-Faisal told NBC's Today Show earlier the belief Al-Qaeda, which was allowed relative freedom in Saudi Arabia, is behind the attacks, will only serve to unite the Saudi people against terrorism.
I think if there is one mistake that the Al-Qaeda have done is to do this attack, because it now has a united country in front of it in resisting and confronting the work that they are doing in Saudi Arabia.
For a while before these latest attacks, the Saudis have been facing rising global criticism for being soft on terrorism. Meanwhile, evacuation flights are now available for any of the 40,000 Americans living in Saudi Arabia in the wake of this week's bombings in Riyadh. The State Department has ordered all non-emergency staff and family members of diplomats to leave the kingdom. U.S. military commanders today are downplaying reports they've given orders to shoot looters in Iraq. The New York Times says a new civilian administrator, L. Paul Bremer, is considering a security recommendation to shoot looters on site. But during a news conference earlier in Baghdad, Army Major General Buford Blount said the order is not any license to kill. It's just a move to protect Allied soldiers.
Yes, we are aggressively targeting looters, but we're not going to go out and shoot children, you know, that are picking up a piece of wood out of a factory and carrying it away, or a bag of cement. Our soldiers have the right to defend themselves.
The U.S. military, of course, was severely criticized after the fall of Baghdad for not moving quickly and aggressively to stop widespread looting. The British Defense Ministry says 6 Iraqi children are dead, another 10 at least injured, after they tried to dismantle an Iraqi bomb. It happened in the southern Iraqi city of Basra, which is still under British control. Those kids were reportedly trying to pry some copper out of the ordnance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Officials at the Justice Department say they intend now to step up prosecutions of gun crimes. The New York Times says a study to be released today by Americans for Gun Safety claims 2% only of federal gun crimes resulted in prosecution, and gun traffickers were rarely prosecuted. An Air Force Academy cadet is facing a hearing today in connection with the alleged rape of a female cadet in a dorm last year. Cadet Third Class Douglas Meester will learn if there's sufficient evidence to forward his case to a court-martial. The sophomore faces a maximum punishment that includes confinement for life and dismissal from the Air Force.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go hamsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
17 Europeans thought to have been kidnapped in the Sahara Desert have now been found, but as we hear from correspondent Suzanne Chislett, the fate of 15 others still isn't known.
The 10 Austrians, 6 Germans, and a Swede are said to have been freed in a commando raid carried out by Algerian authorities. Foreign ministries in Vienna, Berlin, and Stockholm say all 17 are in good health. But 10 Germans, 4 Swiss, and 1 Dutch citizen are still unaccounted for. The 32 adventure tourists had been traveling across the Sahara in 6 or 7 groups without guides when they disappeared between mid-February and mid-March. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And more than 50 Texas Democratic legislators are still on the lam today, holed up at an Oklahoma Holiday Inn. It's part of their effort to protest a redistricting plan on the table by Republican lawmakers. With so many lawmakers refusing to show up for work, proceedings have come to a grinding halt in the Texas legislature. The Democrats fled the state because of a law on the books allowing them to be placed under arrest and returned to the Capitol if they've been found in Texas. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go hamsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, broadcasting around the world on the web from www.ieamericaradio.com and radiopower.org. Broadcasting from the Sirius satellite from 100 miles or more in outer space down to all of North and Central America, and broadcasting on terrestrial radio stations from the west to the east in the United States and all across the middle. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. Our hate alert for this hour, the GOP attack machine. This is from the Boston Phoenix newspaper. Aaron Ralston was the 27-year-old mountain climber who cut off his arm, the guy who cut off his arm with a pocket knife after being trapped by a boulder for several days while hiking in Utah. And one of our radio talk show hosts, the one who, well, it was just, Mr. Limbaugh, he tells the story of it, and he kind of congratulates the guy. You know, he says, can you imagine the pain, having the presence of mind to do all, it's amazing. And then he says, this is just so classy, he says, you know, this is one of these stories, this is one of these acts of human courage that people are going to strive to associate themselves with, such as Democratic presidential candidates. And then he goes on to say, that you know, people. He said, well, he says, this is the kind of story, you know, you might want to have this guy in the audience and claim he's one of your supporters or whatever. And then here it comes. He says, we might even hear from John F. Kerry, for example, that his Jewish grandfather was a mountain climber. And this story has reminded him that his Jewish grandfather was a mountain climber. And therefore, he knows the rigors of his engagement, the enterprise, and can relate to what this climber from Colorado went through. I mean, they'll stop at nothing to build bridges of reliability to these acts of courage because they can't cite many of their own. And the Boston Phoenix points out in this article by Dan Kennedy, it was the perfect storm of demented reasoning. Number one, attack the Democrats for cowardice and exploitative behavior, even though said behavior exists only in Limbaugh's own fervent, fevered imagination. Number two, aim the brunt of the attack at Kerry, the one Democrat who is a decorated war hero. Number three, stick in a snide reference to Kerry's late discovery of his ethnic and religious background. Nor did Rush neglect the opportunity to say Jewish twice, even though he had to repeat himself nearly word for word in order to do so. But if the bizarro nature of Limbaugh's attack was sui generis, the sheer viciousness, the implication that Democrats, liberals, and anyone else who gets in the way of the conservative juggernaut is cowardly, unscrupulous, and unpatriotic, has become a staple of the modern Republican Party. So unfortunate that we hear these things and are not amazed by them. Our question for the hour, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is the number. Do conservative labor and monetary policy, I know this sounds arcane, but it's really not. This is where the rubber meets the road, friends. Do conservative labor and monetary policies serve democracy or just a corporate elite? Our hope is to return to the egalitarian ideals that have been so often embraced in this nation and on which this nation was founded. Let me share with you a little bit of, you know, we started out with a bit of a quote from Rush Limbaugh. This is Father Coughlin. Father Coughlin was the first maniac on the radio. He became, I would say, probably the role model for certainly the Rush Limbaugh program in many ways, in that he was on this crusade to rescue America from FDR. And here's a rant. This is from April 11th, 1937. In 36, as I recall, FDR put on the table Social Security, or the Congress passed it. And Coughlin is suggesting that this is a demented form of communism and that it is going to doom the United States. Listen, and this guy was listened to. My recollection is 34 million Americans, some incredible number of people, because he was the only guy on the radio, and this was the early days of radio. It was a big novelty. Incredible. Just listen, this is classic. April 4th, 1937, Father Coughlin.
Might.
Let me start.
Choosing
let me start
to be on the
here
side
again.
Of justice.
Here we go.
And therefore, choosing right instead of might. Choosing to be on the side of justice instead of on the side of modern capitalism with its intermingling with socialism and communism. I stand before you tonight to warn you.
To warn you.
Careless of what the future holds to me. That this relief that has failed to relieve
this relief of Social Security
by pounding up its taxation, by doubling its assessment upon the payrolls of the nation,
paid for by payroll taxes,
by finding its way into the grocery shops where you purchase your food, this relief that lives upon a sucker's
taking from
the people every penny they own,
every penny
is due to crumble and fall before 1 year from this April. You think you know what depression is?
You don't know yet. Father Coughlin is going in his rant. Social Security is doomed, he's saying. By next April, this thing is going to crash. It's going to die. It's going to be the end of it. Well, it turns out that the opposite happened. Social Security helped build the middle class in the United States. Social Security provided a background, a standing platform, an economic and cultural platform upon which corporations in the United States and businesses could offer something to their employees that would allow them some sense of safety and security. You know, in 1792, James Madison defined government's role in promoting an American middle class, quote, by the silent operation of the laws, which, without violating the rights of property, reduce extreme wealth toward a state of mediocrity and raise extreme indigence toward a state of comfort. End quote. Our number four, a strong middle class is vital to democracy. Number four in our Bill of Rights for the 21st century. To say that somebody who earns millions a year by arbitrage or in dividend income from investments works that much harder than a middle-class wage earner is simple nonsense. And the Social Security tax demonstrated that. It helped build the middle class. And what has happened is that this was one kind of speed bump along the road of the history of the relationships between labor and management, between the relationship between people who work for a living and people who own things for a living. And, of course, now we have an administration that is firmly on the side of the camp of the folks who own things for a living, saying, well, if you own things for a living, if your income comes from dividends or from capital gains, not only do you not have to pay a payroll tax, but you also should have your income tax capped at 15%. You can make out like a bandit. But if you work for a living, you've got to pay a payroll tax on the first $81,000, and you have to pay an income tax, plus all the other taxes, your property tax and your sales tax and everything else. So we have this historic tension between workers and corporations that's gone back to the days of serfdom. The New Deal and the Great Society came out of a realization that a strong middle class is essential for democracy, that it's absolutely essential for democracy. So what's the next step in this? Let me just let you listen to a little bit more of Father Coughlin. He goes into a rant, and I want you to particularly notice his reference to the Federal Reserve Board here, because this is something that most people don't understand, how the Fed controls whether or not you're going to have a job next year. People think it just has to do with how much you pay in interest on your credit cards or in your mortgage. No, the agenda of the Fed is much larger than that. Listen to Father Coughlin here as he gets into full rant mode.
How long can it last for this Federal Reserve Bank to invent and coin and issue its own bogus money against the debts of a nation? And then when the bond market drops as it's dropping now, print more fresh $5 bills to buy in its own bonds. Oh, there's a law of compensation, and there's an accounting to be held, an accounting that shall make the depression of 1929 seem as a prosperity when it breaks upon you.
Whoa, seem as a prosperity. Yes. Well, what was he talking about? He was not only against Social Security, he was also against the Federal Reserve Board and the banking system in the United States. And there are many who still are, of course, opposed to both, actually, to Social Security and the banks. Economic growth doesn't determine wages. There's two variables here. One has to do with who has a job, whether or not people have jobs. And we're going to create jobs by cutting taxes. Nonsense. You create jobs by creating an economic climate that works. Cutting taxes is maybe one tiny piece of that. But ultimately, jobs are not created by government, unless they're government jobs. And there are times, there have been times historically, when the government has created jobs and it's helped the economy out. It's helped people out of desperate straits. The WPA during the 1930s, Lincoln's, you know, some historical cynics suggest that the Civil War was Lincoln's attempt to bring the United States out of the Great Panic of the 1850s, 1860s. In any case, the whether or not you have a job is one variable. The other one, and it's a big one, is how much that job pays. And whether you have benefits and things. And economic growth does not determine that. The thing that determines how much your job, how much you earn for a living, is the relative power that employees have compared to those who employ them. And that power is defined by one major thing. I mean, certainly there are smaller things like federal labor laws now, but the one major thing is how scarce labor is. If it's hard to find good people to hire, then wages go up. If there's more people looking for a job than there are people who are employed, as we have right now, then wages go down. And this is just a very, very simple equation. So what does the Federal Reserve have to do with this? The Federal Reserve controls this. This is the main job of the Federal Reserve, to decide how many jobs there are out there to control the cost of labor. I'll explain when we come right back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No. I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, it's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
It's so.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm gonna tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover is Dr. Dre style. Through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix and the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Even by today's big money standards, $1 million is a lot to pay for a TV ad. But George W. spared no expense in putting together an ad for his upcoming election campaign. Unfortunately, he stuck us taxpayers with the bill. His ad has already run as news on all the networks, and we'll see snippets of it again and again next year when George goes campaigning. But Bush spent more than taxpayer dollars to make this ad for his personal political advancement. He also spent the integrity of the American presidency, using our brave soldiers as his political props, then trying to lie to we the people about his shameful action. The scene was the USS Lincoln, an aircraft carrier that was returning to San Diego from action in Bush's Iraqi war. George's political hack, Karl Rove, thought it would be a PR coup to have Bush greet the troops. But he quickly shifted from greeting troops to manipulating them. He dressed W. up in a military flight suit, put him in a fighter jet, and swooshed him out to the carrier, making a dramatic, made-for-TV tailhook landing. What imagery and irony. Here was America's most famous Vietnam draft dodger, a guy who used his family connections to keep from fighting for his country, now strutting around posing as some top gun. Caught in this crass act of politicizing the war and the troops, the White House did what it's best known for doing. It lied. Bush, they said, had to take the jet because the carrier was too far out at sea to be reached by helicopter. This turns out to be sheer bushwa. In fact, the carrier was so close to shore that it had to be turned around to keep the TV cameras from catching the San Diego coastline in the background as Bush landed. This is Jim Hightower saying, imagine Eisenhower or Kennedy or even Bush the Elder, all of whom were real war heroes, resorting to such a cheesy political stunt. George W. can dress up like a Top Gun, but he's nothing but a tin horn.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah, I feel good. Let's smile. The sun. Well, it's actually raining here in Vermont, but it's still a beautiful day. Life is good. We live in one of the finest nations on the earth, and we have great potential, just extraordinary potential in the United States. And a return to the egalitarian ideals that built this country could do so much, not just for the United States, but for the entire planet. We are such a beacon for the rest of the world. We are such a people look to us. I mean, it's what an obligation that carries. So anyway, we were talking about the Fed here on the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, where we're bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle. We're talking about the Fed, the Federal Reserve Board. What do they do? Well, the main thing that they do, their market board, is set interest rates. They set the basic interest rate that the banks have to use to borrow money from, that they can then loan to you and so on, borrow money from the Fed. And those interest rates are used to warm up or cool down the economy. Now, why would they do that? Why is it that for the last 3 years, Greenspan has been steadily dropping interest rates in an attempt to warm up the economy, whereas during the last 4 years of the Clinton administration, he was steadily raising interest rates in an attempt to cool down the economy? What's the danger of an economy that runs too fast or an economy that runs too slow? Well, an economy that runs so slow that it's imploding is called a depression. And we're very close to that definition right now. And in my opinion, these are not things that are explicitly the fault of a particular politician. There seems to be an 80-year cycle that we go through. An excellent book about this called The Fourth Turning by Strauss and Howe. And it's a bit of a digression. I'm not going to get into a whole thing about it. But if you just look at the timing from 1860 to 1920s and then the 1920s to now, each of these two cycles is about 80 years. This kind of comes around. But in any case, the slowing down of the economy by the Fed intentionally is done to put people out of work. The reason, and you think I'm being paranoid about this, I'm not. I mean, this is their explicit policy. And the reason why is to make labor cheaper. And the speeding up of an economy when it gets desperate, when things are really bad, is to make more labor available, because there's a social danger when you have too many people who are unemployed. So in a way, you could argue that this is regulating the labor market for the benefit of the nation. And that's certainly how the Fed thinks of it. They very much think of it that way. And for example, here's a little clip from the Wall Street Journal under the head, "Economy Warms But Isn't Overheating." This is from Charles Kelly's book, Class War in America. "The economy continued to sizzle last month, but cast off few sparks indicating overheating. And with Mr. Greenspan having told Congress earlier in the week that he continues to remain vigilant for any warning signs that might force him to boost interest rates later this month, the markets were examining the tiniest details of Friday's release for any glimpse of inflation. Indications that raises aren't escalating and are quite possibly deaccelerating isn't enough to pacify anti-inflation hawks. They look for advance signs that wage increases will begin. Mr. Greenspan, for one, We're quoting the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Greenspan, for one, scrutinizes worker insecurity. He has said in recent remarks that he believes a pervasive fear of unemployment has kept wage demands modest, but he is worried that a robust labor market would soon embolden workers to demand more. End quote. In other words, when things are really good, then workers start asking for more pay, and that's a bad thing in the mind of the Fed. When things are bad, then workers, you know, when people have worker insecurity, that's a good thing, according to the Fed. Let's examine in a little more detail how this works right after this break. You're listening to Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
People are trying to stop the spread of insects and disease without stopping international trade. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Wooden pallets are used in shipping to move freight around the world. These wooden platforms are important for trade, but they often carry more than their intended cargo. Beetles, worms, fungus, and bacteria are just some of the organisms that ride around on pallets. In one case, researchers examined a single pallet and discovered nearly 30 different kinds of insects. Carrie Britton is a forest pathologist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She says the wood that's used for pallets often comes from trees that already had been weakened by insects or disease.
There's probably billions of pallets that move around each year with very inferior wood. And sometimes the reason those trees died too young to become anything but a pallet is because they had insects or diseases.
Imported diseases and pests have caused serious economic and environmental damage around the world. Britton says people are looking for ways to fight this problem.
The regulatory community all over the world realize that this is a major problem, and they're working on trying to develop regulations and ways of, you know, requiring that the wood be treated either with heat or fumigants like methyl bromide.
Britton says modern transportation helps foreign organisms survive the trip between continents.
They can travel across the ocean. We have such rapid transit now that they arrive still alive, and they just crawl out and look for a new home.
Pallets are not the only problem. Invasive species sometimes travel in wood chips and other wood that's used for packing material. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to ieamericaradio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey!
Tom Hartman radio program, where democracy is still alive and well on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars with real information, uncommon sense from the radical middle. We're talking about in this hour how to read the Wall Street Journal, how to read Business Week and Barron's, how to understand what these people are talking about when they say wage pressures. What is wage pressure? What is wage progress? Why is wage progress a bad thing? And wage pressure, well, wage pressure is a bad thing. What they're talking about? Here's a quote. This is from a 1995 article in Business Week in which it quotes Alan Greenspan. The title of the article was, "Can the economy stand a million more jobs?" This is the wealthy investor class talking to itself. Quote, "Despite growing comfort at the Fed with the current jobless rate, Greenspan remains the biggest skeptic. Fed watchers say that he still doubts the economy can handle unemployment lower than 6% without triggering wage pressures. Greenspan hinted as much in an October 19th speech, noting that while the downsizing trend has left employees docile, at some point, quote, workers will perceive that it no longer makes sense to trade off wage pressures for incremental gains in expected job security." Obviously, as Charles Kelly says, in Greenspan's view, the economic welfare of working Americans takes a distant second place to high corporate profits. The whole idea here is that humans are resources, not people. They're not employees. They're not individuals. The fact that they have families and that they're trying to get by, those aren't the relevant things in this worldview. The relevant things in this worldview are that when employment starts tightening up, when the economy is doing well, and workers start saying, hey, you know, you're having a hard time finding good people, I'd like a little more pay, then it's time for the Fed to increase interest rates, which cools down the economy because it discourages investment by businesses. And as the economy cools down, boom, people get thrown out of work, and we have worker insecurity, to quote Alan Greenspan, which is a good thing from the point of view of American business. And we saw throughout the 90s, Greenspan cranking up interest rates higher and higher and higher, trying to create that worker insecurity. Well, he finally got it in 2001. And even more in 2002 and even more in 2003, we've had almost three continuous years here of declining economic growth, of losing jobs. Over 3 million jobs now have been lost in the United States. Lots of worker insecurity. It's making for some very profitable corporations now coming out of this. Yeah, there was a lot of fat that was being squeezed out of the corporations as well. So the question, do conservative labor and monetary policies serve democracy or just a corporate elite? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, by the way, 1-800-825-5937. Let's take this to the next step and look at its impact on healthcare. Bartering was once a way of life in Vermont. This is the headline on an article in today's Vermont Free Press. And this, is true of every state in the United States. You know, local newspapers, they do little kind of human interest stories. And this is, many Vermonters in the 18th century had little money to spare. Well, of course, and they talk about people made do by growing their own food and making their own clothes. However, there are a few things, such as axes and nails, that most Vermonters could not make for themselves, so they bartered for goods and services. Makes sense, right? A family needing an axe might have approached the blacksmith to see what he needed. Perhaps he wanted to clear some land in order to raise some crops. In exchange for the axe, the family could clear some of the blacksmith's land. If someone were sick, family members might have paid a physician with food that they had grown, or perhaps make him a new shirt. See, there was a time in the United States, pretty much right up to the 1950s, where to be in the medical industry did not mean instant and amazing wealth. It meant you were comfortable, but you were still part of the middle class. Maybe the top end of the middle class, but still part of the middle class. And the idea that providing health care in a hospital setting, for example, was a public service, was the pervasive idea. That hospitals were part of our commons, that healthcare was part of our commons. And so they were provided by nonprofit organizations. Blue Cross Blue Shield was originally a nonprofit organization. The vast majority of hospitals across the United States were nonprofit. And they were run in a way that simply met the needs of the people who were using their services. And people could afford health care. And health care was provided to most people. And those people who absolutely couldn't afford it, there were ways, you know, you could always barter with the doctor. I mean, doctors still made house calls, as they do today in England. So how has this changed? What has happened with us? Well, it's this I was going to say creeping, but it's been explosive since the early 1980s in large part, although the trend certainly started before then. But it really exploded in the 1980s when a lot of the laws that were in place that required people in the health services sector of the United States economy to operate on a not-for-profit for the benefit of the community basis were repealed. And these organizations could then say, well, you know, we can go on a for-profit basis, and because healthcare is something that people can't provide for themselves. I mean, you can, in theory, at least grow your own food. You can buy clothes at the Salvation Army if all else fails. You can always get cheap clothes. You can always find cheap food. If you don't want to eat out in a restaurant, you can go to the local supermarket and buy your food. And if you don't even want to cook your own food, I mean, if you're really down and out or really whatever, there are soup kitchens. But healthcare, if you want healthcare, well, yeah, we are providing healthcare for some of the poorest among us, absolutely. But many we are not. And if you want healthcare in the United States, you've got to pay. You've got to pay big time. And the insurance companies came into this. And when they didn't have to be nonprofit anymore, there was this incredible change. Both with hospitals and insurance. The one with hospitals is what made Bill Frist worth over $20 million. It was taking for not-for-profit hospitals and turning them into private profit-making centers. And basically, you can charge whatever you want. I mean, when was last time that you went to a doctor, that you sat down with the doctor before talking with him or her about the service you were going to get and said, you know, I'd like to know how much you charge? Doesn't happen. We don't comparison shop. We don't have the option. You're on the way to the hospital. You're not saying to the ambulance driver, is this hospital, what do they charge, $250 a night or $300? How much do they charge to have a nurse visit? No. Doesn't happen. So it's a money pot. And when people like Frist got into this, I mean, it was just boom. And so we have a situation now where of every $100 spent on health care in the United States through not-for-profit institutions like Medicaid, $3 is the cost of administration. But the for-profit companies come along and they say correctly, oh, well, we can do it for less than that. Yeah, they could provide health care for $2.90 on $100, 2.9%, or 2.8%, or 2.7%. They can always figure out a way to cut corners. Yet, of $100 spent on health care through private insurance companies in the United States, depending on the company and the state that you're in, between $14 and $26 sticks to the fingers of the insurance company. Well, what happened to this $2.90? Well, that's the actual cost. And the rest, the other $10, $15, $20, they have to pay profits. Bill Frist has to get his $20 million. They've got CEOs who have to have big salaries. They've got great big headquarters that have to be paid for. They've got the corporate jet. They've got the advertising that you're watching on your television programs constantly. Some of those ads cost $500,000 a minute. Where does that money come from? You. So now we have this kind of bizarre structure that's happening on two ends, the two extreme ends. Here we have, this is from today's Wall Street Journal. Fast-growing health plan has a catch, $1,000 a year cap. My daughter was offered one of these policies just a while ago. She called up and she was talking to Louise, my wife, and she said, you know, well, these people are saying that I can get this health insurance for only $10 a week. And Louise says, there's got to be a catch. And she reads her the policy, and it turns out that the maximum payment is $1,000 a year. And here it is. Front page of the Wall Street Journal. For legions of Americans with no health insurance, a policy known as limited benefit sounds like an appealing choice. Weekly premiums are often only about $10 a week. But there's a big catch. For basic medical care, it often only pays $1,000 a year. So little that some question whether it amounts to health insurance at all. However, the Wall Street Journal points out, the policies are among the fastest growing health insurance offerings in the workplace. Sold by half a dozen insurance companies now, they cover an estimated 750,000 employees and family members. Walmart stores, McDonald's, Lowe's are among the major companies, making them available to employees. And what this is doing is it says these companies can now say, well, our employees are insured. And the politicians who are in bed with them saying, say, oh, we don't have a problem in America. We got, you know, all these people are insured. Well, here's how it works. Your weekly premium. This is just one example. It's the one that's on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. It's offered by Regis Corp through UICI. Weekly premium, $6.92. Or, for an entire family, $21.55. Deductible, $50. Every time you visit the doctor, $15 copay. There's an accidental death benefit of $10,000 and an accident benefit of $5,000, up to two a year. But the basic annual benefit is $1,000. The Wall Street Journal says the plans spotlight the growing disparity at many companies between the treatment of high-ranking employees who generally get comprehensive health insurance policies and hourly workers who tend to be the lowest paid and least able to cope with medical costs. And they go on to say, by offering limited benefit plans, employers are able to tell new low-level workers that health insurance is available through the job, even though most employers pay nothing toward it. Think of it as getting insurance for the price of a movie or a few beers, some employers and insurance agents tell their workers. This type of insurance has grown 20% in the last 2 years. Now, they point out that serious medical problems are the factor in half of the nation's 1.5 million annual bankruptcy filings, although our Congress just last year made bankruptcy much harder to file for. And then they go on to say, some in the insurance industry have a hard time taking this coverage seriously. A gathering of 300 insurance agents in Las Vegas erupted into laughter last summer when an insurance company executive explained a limited benefit plan offered by Star Human Resources. The policies have restrictions such as waiting periods for wellness checks and for treatment of pre-existing conditions. They also involve deductibles that policyholders must pay each year before benefits kick in. Mrs. Craig's plan imposed a $150 annual deductible, required $10 copays, plus the $1,000 basic annual benefit. I mean, this is incredible. You're paying, Beth Todd, an employee of Regis Harris, says, the plan is a ripoff. Well, I think some would say so. Others may say, hey, this is something people need. Who knows? What do you think about this? 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. In the midst of this, companies are slashing retirement benefits and slashing their health care benefits. Limited benefit plans. Here you are, you're paying $10 a week for this thing. That's over $500 a year. And the most you can get back from it is $1,000 a year. And every time you go to the doctor, you got to copay $15. And pre-existing conditions aren't covered. And there's a deductible of $50. I think you'd do better buying lottery tickets. Well, you know, facetiously. Anyhow, about 8% of large and mid-sized corporations, according to today's USA Today, are considering getting rid of their pensions entirely. And an additional 6% are contemplating changes. This is the other end of this. I mentioned, you know, on the one end we have the health care, and on the other end we have pensions. Pensions are being wiped out across the United States. The other cover story on yesterday's Wall Street Journal A retired steel worker struggles with a health insurance crisis. Now, this is a sad and desperate story about this guy who's he's got to pay $2,864 for health insurance. And he's a retiree from a steel mill where he worked for 37 years. He was he lost 10 days off the job in all those years. This guy was a really good employee. He says people could think I didn't work hard. He says, but I worked for everything that I ever owned. And what happens? Well, the steel company says to 40,000 of their retirees and dependents, sorry. And the way it works, see, if to quote the Wall Street Journal, if a company goes out of business and sells its assets to another company, neither is obligated to pick up the tab for former workers. So you got this shuffle going on where companies are selling themselves to other companies and getting out from underneath pension liabilities. And they point out in this article, what makes the predicament of retired LTV workers, this is the company that this guy worked for who this article is about, so striking is that their old bankrupt company is now operating profitably under a new name. Without its pension obligations. Under Chapter 7 of the Bankruptcy Code, the other little trick is the companies declare bankruptcy. Under Chapter 7 of the Bankruptcy Code, employees are considered unsecured creditors unless they're down on the list of creditors to be paid out of the company's remaining assets. They're at the end of the line. Human beings at the end of the line. We can do better than this. We can return to the egalitarian ideals on which this country was founded. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
You know, you ought to check your credit report.
But I just don't have time.
I have to clean out the garage.
And take the kids to the doctor.
And balance my checkbook.
And take the dog to the vet.
And mow the lawn.
And do the grocery shop. And call the bank.
Stop. If you haven't checked your credit report, there's a fast, easy solution. Log on to freecreditreport.com and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. And get 30 days of our credit check monitoring service free. So don't say,
I'm just too busy.
Log on to freecreditreport.com today.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as
you
I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk,
We think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time, that's Eastern time, weekdays, for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We have a wealth of calls here. We've got Carl in England, Mike in Milwaukee, and Billy in Santa Cruz, and we've got about 2.5 minutes left on the show. Carl in England, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Howdy, Mike. Tom, yeah, you know you were talking about this health insurance that's so cheap?
Yes.
I have some information about that you might be overlooking.
Okay.
I know back, maybe 5 years ago, this was getting popular in Los Angeles amongst low-paid people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons was because a lot of hospitals wouldn't even let you through the door if you couldn't truthfully say you had insurance.
Oh, interesting. So this is like a pass into the kingdom.
Exactly. And there was a lot of people buying up such policies just because then they could get into the hospital, not go to the
cheap
hospitals.
Fascinating.
And,
Carl, are you in England right now?
They never really expected to pay the bill anyway, but it got them through the door.
Right. Carl, are you in England?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you used the health care system there?
I've been here a couple months now, moved from Germany after five years in Germany, but I'm from Michigan.
Yeah, huh. But you're in England. Okay, great. Carl, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. It's very kind of you to call the show. Mike in Milwaukee, you have some thoughts on this, on health care. Okay. Welcome to the program.
Good to hear Bob Marley. Nice selection of music there. I'll make this real
Thank
quick.
You.
First off, the Republicans, they're very, very good at being united in their message. Whenever they're a talking head on a show, they always, like, for example, they change terminology by saying the word over and over and over again. For example,
sure.
Instead of a inheritance tax, it's called a death tax.
Right, and they get the talking points from the Heritage Foundation and the Republican National Committee. They send these things out to talk show hosts every day.
Exactly, and eventually the public starts referring to it as such. The name changes and the concept changes.
Right, they've controlled
the
frame.
And that's what the Democrats absolutely have to do with this health care thing. We need to start calling it, what's the big argument against the Canadian system? It's, what do you call
I don't
that?
I know. Well, it's a single-payer system,
well,
basically.
What I mean is...
The people on the right call it socialized medicine. It's
socialized
not in Canada.
Medicine,
that's, they have socialized medicine in England, but not in Canada.
But what
anyhow,
do you call it? It's
rationed
health care. We need to start calling the American rationed health care system so that people see it for what it is. 50 million Americans don't have insurance. It's rationed health care, only for those that can afford it.
You're right. Thank you, Mike from Milwaukee. I appreciate the call. Billy in Santa Cruz, I'm sorry we're not going to have time to get to you because this is the end of the show. We're up against the top of the hour. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. We'll see you tomorrow, Billy. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, check our website at www.